was they would adopt the values, the philosophies, and the understandings of the world, and they would mix their lives and their faith with unbiblical things. And here we see that. Here we see just this problem of mixing religion with worldliness, with blending truth with lie. We see justification, and we see, even though in our section of Scripture, we see the knowledge of what was right, we see that they had an understanding of what was right. But they were unwilling to carry out in a practical way the action of doing what's right. So we find out it's not enough just to know what the Bible says. But isn't the wise man who builds his house on the rock, isn't that the one who hears the word and what? And does it. And that is so important, that we develop an attitude of doing the word. And so often we talk about reading the word, studying the word. But we need to work into our vernacular doing the word. I'm doing the word. So the understanding then of what was right somewhere down the line, and we can all relate to this. I think in a room like this, we mainly are not ignorant of living a biblical life. But it's the carrying out of that that gets difficult. And the answer to that is to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't think that we're going to mentally live right by our knowledge alone. The knowledge then must lead us to surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit so that we will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That's where the power is. So we need to take these studies, these understandings, and we need to take them before the Lord and say, Lord, I surrender my ways to you. I see where I'm wrong. I need help, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Send me torrents of living water. Satisfy me, Lord. I think about David when he sinned and when he repented. And Nathan the prophet said that God said, David, I would have given you anything you wanted if you would just have asked for more. And I wonder in those moments where we're in love with something that's not of God, if those are the moments where we say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That tells us that our impulses, like Amnon's, our impulses to love something else or to desire something else, are satisfied only by being filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we have these impulses, these desires, these false loves, and we begin to go after them, really the answer is not more of the thing that we're going after. The answer is don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need more filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. And when we're dry and when we're in a spiritually thirsty land, the answer is not for more dirt. Picture yourself in the desert and you're thirsty and you start eating more dirt and you think that's going to satisfy you. The answer is water. The answer is water. So we need to realize that these impulses, these habits, these besetting sins, these things that have come into our life that we love that are not of God, they're simply the flesh trying to take control. And the answer is, don't be drunk with, in our case, lust, or don't be drunk with greed or pride or whatever our thing is, but what? Help me out. Yeah. That's exciting. Because that's the answer. Don't be drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So don't eat more dirt and think that's going to take care of your problem. Do what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you crave alcohol, is drinking alcohol going to solve your problem? What is? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. See, if I may digress here for a minute, it's possible that you and I can come into studies like this and we can read, we can dot the I's and cross the T's and split the hairs and gain more understanding and yet still be as equally as sinful and carnal as we were before we came in. Because knowledge in and of itself is not enough. Knowledge in and of itself, the Bible says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the what? To the humble. So what that means is we take this information, we take it to the Lord, and we develop through God's Word a deeper relationship with Him, and the deeper relationship that we have with Him satisfies our thirst and our hunger and teaches us to walk under the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit that comes from a deeper relationship with God. It comes from a surrendering of our life to God, which comes from a deeper understanding of God. And so we need to be careful that we're not just really smart, knowledgeable Christians who continue to walk in sin. But how about we're really knowledgeable in our relationship with our Lord and Savior, so deeply in love with Him that we don't want to sin anymore? And when we do start to have those impulses, instead of listening to those impulses, we go back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that's what we really want. Stop eating the dirt. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying that to myself as well. So now, David in verse 7, David sent home to Tamar. So now David's involved. David sent home to Tamar. And he says, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food to him, for him. He knew, David knew this was wrong. There's a reason Tamar wasn't involved with Amnon. There's a reason, because he knew this wasn't right. So now we see David involving himself, acquiescing to his son's need, afraid to say no to his son. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laying down. Now, this is a very clever, crafty ploy here, because women in general have a tendency to be very nurturing, compassionate, helpful, and loving. So the the scenario is then now, here's her half-brother probably moaning and whining, and I'm so sick. Can you help me? Can you make me some cakes? Probably whining, all bundled up in his Snuggie. And all he really is lovesick. And so you can just... And this is what makes us even more diabolical, sad, and sick. It's the taking advantage of someone's good, pure, wholesome desires to want to be helpful. This tells us as believers, we have to be innocent and what? Shrewd. Meaning, we have to be discerning. We have to be wise. We can't go into every situation lacking understanding, lacking wisdom and discernment as to how to handle that situation. This shows us the importance of that, but it shows us that Satan will also often take advantage of our propensities, our bents, the kind of the way we are, the way we're wired. And you see that in ministry a lot. People usually involved in ministry are people that really want to help people, who have sacrificed their lives to help people. And you can see Satan taking advantage of that and perverting that desire to help people. You know, people that are at home and they're needy and they're struggling and they're desperate, and the preacher comes on TV and he says, if you send me $6.99, you'll get a cloth in the mail that I'll pray over, and you rub yourself with it and you'll have all the money you ever wanted. It's the taking advantage of our sensitivities or our propensities or our bents that we need to be very discerning about. Somebody could be very loving and maybe very social and very engaging. And so Satan may bring somebody in their life that is not a believer, and that person's heart and emotions may be taken over, even though it's not right, not biblical, not the Lord. But Satan works on those emotions and those feelings. That's exactly what happened with Amnon. He just so wanted Tamar, and Satan just worked on those feelings, worked on him until he acted on those feelings. So she goes to Amnon's house, verse 8, and she was he was lying down. She took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. She took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. And they all went out from him. That was also not correct. So now the scenario is developing a little further, and Amnon's probably thinking things are going exactly as he planned. The plan that he had hatched with his cousin is now taking effect, and he's going to be a happy man now. He's going to have exactly what he wanted. Do you notice the conniving, manipulating, the striving? The Bible says the servant of the Lord shall not strive. And that just reminds me of, even in ministerial type of things or spiritual things, we can often want something and go forth with our desires, even if it's a biblical thing, or even if it's maybe something that we think God's put on our heart, but in reality, it's just something we want, and we begin to force it. We begin to manipulate it, massage it, kind of direct it, and we say, Lord, bless this. And we begin to manpower it. And we begin to eventually have what we're forcing and pushing and striving and struggling for in the flesh. And when I see the Bible, it's just the opposite. whenever we feel like we need to push for to make something happen, to strive, to manipulate, to struggle, to do things in our flesh, to help God a little bit, then maybe we need to back off. Maybe we need to say, Lord, if this is really you, do you just do it? You take care of it. Pray for the open door. But be very careful when we begin to desire our own thing and then push it through and ask God to bless it. But instead, just say, Lord, if it's you, you can do it. And I'm open, I'm allowing you to do it, but I'm also not going to force it. I'm going to be receptive. If you provide an open door, I'm going to go through it with all I have, with all of my heart, but I'm not going to knock down the door. I'm not going to pound it down. And so biblically then, we see this great ease, comfort, almost a relaxed condition of a servant of the Lord who's not striving, but just is yoked to God and letting Him tread out the ground. And there's a feeling as if we're just along for the ride. I love that, and that's how the Lord works. He includes us in His work. We shouldn't include Him in our work. You see the difference? So let's include Him in His work, or let's let Him include us in His work. And let's not have our work and then try to throw God in to what we're doing. Oftentimes, in reality, we're just doing our will and really not okay with God's will. But we see this manipulating, striving, and no doubt Amnon at this point is thinking, happiness has come. Bliss. I've achieved my goal. I've accomplished all that I wanted to accomplish. Life is going to be grand and happy and perfect. So in verse 10, as everybody leaves, Amnon said to Tamar, he said, bring the food into my bedroom that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. He just wonder if she's feeling uncomfortable. It's like, this is not, something's just wrong. Something's not right here. But she's really, really stuck. So in verse 11, she had brought them in to eat, and he took hold of her, and he said, come lie with me, my sister. But she answered, I don't believe he was expecting this. She said, no, my brother. And she wasn't talking like my brother in the Lord. She was talking about, you're really my brother. No, my brother, do not force me for no such thing. She gives a reason now. Listen to her. This is just amazing in the situation, how logical, how calm she is, how she breaks it down expositionally, so to speak, for her. She said, don't force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. There's point number one. This is wrong in Israel. This goes against God, His commandments, and our nation. Because He was the next in line also for being the king. She said, do not do this disgraceful thing. There's point number two. It would be a disgrace for him. And I, point number three, it'd be a disgrace for me, unmarried. It would ruin my life. I've kept myself. Where could I take my shame? She wouldn't be able to get away from it. And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Don't leave a legacy like that. Very, very strong testimony, very strong witness. You got to admire the strength, the wisdom, the ability to answer biblically the attacks or the way that she's trying to be taken advantage of. Now, therefore, please speak to the king. And here's her final way of trying to get out of this. Speak to our dad. Speak to David. For he will not withhold me from you. Now, that seems strange, but I believe she was saying that just to get out of the situation. But she wanted it to be put before David, to at least do things right, to be the things done, to be done in a right way. See, again, this reiterates how when we get something in our mind, sometimes we can't listen to logic or reason. We're just going to do what we're going to do. And we get these warnings over and over again. We see these warnings. And we see this presentation of the truth broken down to him. All the potential of disaster and danger that would come to him, that he obviously wasn't in his right mind. He couldn't think. He was so filled with not love, as it was stated. He loved her, but he really lusted after her, didn't he? This powerful emotion of lust that has plagued mankind from the beginning over and over again. But how do we know it's lust and not love? Well, the Bible tells us that love is patient, right? I believe a lot of times the devil really tries to get us to act on impulse and quickly before we have a time to be really thinking soberly or in more of a reality. He gets us to react to his temptations, to his seductions, instead of allowing us time to say, well, what does the Bible say about this? What is the right approach to this? But see, Tamar was fully in control of herself. She had self-control. But lust had taken over Amnon to the extent where he wasn't patient. He wasn't kind. This was not love at all. This was his flesh in full force operation. His flesh has completely taken over his life, where he is mad. He is psycho. He is about to do something which Tamar presented to him would plague him and her and many others for the rest of his life. Now you read this and you say, man, couldn't they just see that? But again, please remember, as God spoke to me, I'm the man. I'm the one who needs to see myself in here. And the capabilities of my flesh, the power of my flesh, the potential of my flesh, if I allow my flesh to tell me what to do, instead of living under the power of the Holy Spirit. So, in verse 14, he would not heed her voice. And being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. So there's just the tragedy. I'm not going to elaborate much on that. But notice in verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. That's how you know it wasn't love. Isn't that interesting? He hated her immediately after. And that is a very common feeling. And this is a message that every female should know, that there is something about a man or a young man or teenagers or whoever who are lustfully going after a young lady, sweet-talking a young lady, buying flowers. But yet, there may be something behind that. If the individual, the young man, is unwilling to wait, it's not love. Why? Love is what? Love is patient. So be very careful about that. This lust, once it was conquered, turned into what? Hate. It turned into hate. And that is often, more than not, the feeling of a man when he does something like Amnon did to somebody who he was lusting after. That lust, once satisfied, turns into hate. Why is that? Because that lust, once satisfied, turns into guilt. And that guilt will be directed at the party in whom the lust was targeted at. Do you see how diabolical Satan is? And you can kind of see how oftentimes women, teenagers, young ladies will desire love and companionship and affection, and so much so that they don't see that maybe this young man who is so nice to them is simply interested in one thing. And if that happens, there's a good probability that that young man, or whatever age man, will hate you after. He hated her, and he didn't just hate her a little bit, he hated her exceedingly. But when you see that, do you also see now the how God loves us so much that he doesn't say, don't do these things because I want your life to be extremely boring. He says, don't do these things because I love you so much. You don't know the depth of the ramifications of the hurt and the pain in your own life, what you're doing to yourself. And I'm sure all of us know what that's like to some extent, to just respond to the desires of our flesh and then to feel so bad and yucky and crummy about it. And just, you almost feel like you just hate yourself. You don't like yourself. Never do you feel after that situation that you've accomplished what you thought you were going to accomplish. And that's why this is so diabolical. I don't think we can fully understand the way God does how nasty and mean and perverted and diabolical Satan is. So he says, flee youthful lusts. Not because I don't want you to enjoy your youth. He says, flee youthful lusts because it's hurtful and harmful. It takes from you. It doesn't add to you. It hurts you. It hurts others. He said, flee youthful lusts. So that's the flavor and the attitude and the understanding. Now, as Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. Isn't that interesting? So, do you remember how much lusted after her? Do you remember what he did to get his way? Do you remember he lost weight because he was sick? That's how much he wanted her. Well, the feeling of hate was greater than that feeling of love. Isn't that interesting? Satan just stinks, doesn't he? Yeah. Man. But God is good too, isn't he? He rescued us from all that stuff. This is where we see, even in a story like that, the beauty of the Lord. How he saved wretches like us. How good he was to be able to restore and renew our hearts and our minds, even to wash our consciences by his blood. I love that about God. That his blood was sufficient to get our consciences, which scream at us at the things that we have done, our past. And just like you and I would wash the windows clean and get that squeegee and just take all that dirt and grime off, that his blood did that to our consciences. I love that about Jesus. So he says, arise and be gone. So she said to him, no, indeed. This evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me, but he would not listen to her. So she's now even still reasonable. She's saying, this doesn't have to turn worse. She's basically saying that instead of sending her away, make her his wife or pay her the dowry that a wife or bride would be paid. Because now, being not a virgin anymore and being unwed, she would have very little potential to be able to make an income for herself. She was basically put in a position where she was going to be ruined for life. And she's pleading with him, don't do anything worse. Don't continue on with this sin. This evil in verse 16 of sending me away is worse than the other that you did, but he would not listen. And then he called his servant who attended him and said, put this woman out away from me and bolt the door behind her. Now, even looking at it from Amnon's side, does he seem happy to you? It didn't work out for him either, did it? So you can see even from his side then, what he thought would make him a happy, satisfied man actually turned out to be worse for him. He was worse off than he was when he was just lovesick. Now she had on a robe of many colors that signified her position of honor as the king's daughter and of an unmarried virgin. For the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head to sign of mourning. Her life now was, in a secular, practical sense, completely ruined. And she tore her robe of many colors that was on her, basically symbolizing that her position that she had was ruined, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, remember Absalom? That's her full brother. Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. And do not take this thing to heart. Basically, his way of consoling her, kind of like a lot of us men can do with our wives or female friends. Just don't worry about it. Just move on. Suck it up kind of thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. So David, now this, think about it. He's the dad of both of these people that are involved. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. He's very cold and indifferent. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Now, I don't know about you, that's about all I can take for one evening of this story. But getting back to an understanding here tonight of what we started with, of it would be incorrect, I believe, for us to look at this story and not realize, maybe not in the same way, but that we need Jesus. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. But by God's grace, we too can be Amnons in some way, shape, or form. Aren't you glad for Jesus? I am. I'm so glad for Jesus. And this just makes me love Him even more. Because I can see myself in these stories. I can see the sin that so fills my flesh that I just realize that I just have to cling to Jesus every second. And I just am so thankful as I read these stories. It makes me understand that Scripture where we're told to rejoice in our salvation. These stories make it easier for me to rejoice in my salvation, because if I think I'm pretty okay, my salvation is not that big of a deal. But when I read these stories and I see myself in these stories, I realize how great a salvation that I really have. How great a God I have. How loving and graceful and merciful God is towards me. And how important it is for you and I to stay so close to Him. To find those amnons in our life where our heart is being pulled in a different direction, where we're getting hardened maybe in our heart about certain issues, where we're not able to receive rebuke or chastisement from the Lord, where we're not able to listen to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Just be very careful. We want our hearts to be so sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We want to recognize those areas where we get love sick, where we get desiring of things that are not of God. And those are the things we need to take to the cross immediately. Amazing grace. How sweet it is. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, I feel like I need to be washed. And You tell us that we can come to You and You will wash us, Lord. I pray for this body. I pray for these precious people, Lord, that You just love so much that You died for them. You've given us Your Word through Your Holy Scripture to know You in a deeper way. You've given us Your Holy Spirit to be our counselor and our guide. You've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You've given us the power to walk with You and to know You and to be living testaments, living examples, to be lights of the world. Lord, I'm so excited to see what You have for this body, what You have for these people here, what You have for me, what You have for this church. I'm so excited as we tap into Your grace and Your mercy and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so excited to know that You have set us free and that You have a field there that is white, that is ready for the harvest, and You're sending us in it to have a message of love and grace and mercy that people can be forgiven, Lord. Lord, write that, burn that on our hearts, the desire for lost souls, that we would reach out, that we would ask You to give us opportunities to share the hope that lies within us, Lord, to share the good news, that we would be set free from our sin, that we can be washed and cleansed. Oh Lord, we thank You so much. And I thank You for this night. And I thank You for Your holy word. And I know and I trust and I believe that through Your Scripture, You have spoken to Your people tonight. And Lord, You tell us that Your word will not return void. So Lord, each one of us, may we just set, especially as we sing this last song, and do business with You, Lord. May we transact with You. May we sit at the gate and speak to You. Those things that You've been ministering to us through Your Scriptures and by Your Holy Spirit tonight, may we take them to You, Lord. May You change us, Lord. May You wash us clean, Lord. I pray that we would surrender those areas, those Amnon loves. Tonight, right here, that we would surrender, and as much as it may hurt, as we crucify the flesh, that we know the death of those desires, it hurts. But may you fill us with your Holy Spirit instead, Lord. I just pray that all of us here tonight, we wouldn't leave with that baggage that we came in. But we would surrender now that thing, whatever it is, or maybe it's many, that we would come to a place tonight where we would give the Lord our Amnon loves. All to you, Lord. Let us love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Get rid of the garbage, Lord. Get rid of the junk and fill us with you, Lord. More of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. I'm going to be down up front. If anybody would like to come forward and pray, I would love to do that. And maybe if we could have one or two other people possibly come up front. If you need prayer, pray. Come up and we'll pray for you. Let's worship the Lord. God bless you guys.